And joining us now is David Smaldi, a senior fellow at the Washington Office of Latin America, specializing in Venezuela, and a professor of sociology at Tulane University. Professor Smaldi has researched Venezuela for the past 25 years and lived there for a total of 15 years, during which time he taught at the Universidad Central de Venezuela and the Universidad Católica Andrés Bello. He moderates the blog Venezuelan Politics and Human Rights and has an article at The Conversation, Venezuelans Reject Maduro Presidency, but Most Would Oppose Foreign Military Operation to Oust Him. Welcome to Background Briefing, David Smaldi.
Thank you.
So, David, Vice President Pence sent a video message. He apparently spoke with Juan Guaido, the young president of the National Assembly, who's a number of South American countries have recognized us as Venezuela's legitimate leader. And then today, President Trump also recognized the leader of the opposition, Juan Guaido, as the interim president. So is this going to have any effect on Maduro? It does feel like the outside world is closing in on him, not to mention the fact that the vast majority of the Venezuelan people are just totally fed up with this incompetent, unpopular leader.
Yeah, it's a really situation that's developing right now. It's rather confusing. It's not clear what exactly is going to happen. Today, there were massive protests. Today is the 23rd of January and is an important national holiday in Venezuela, precisely because in 1958, this is the day that they overthrew a military dictatorship. And so there were massive marches today. And during the march, Juan Guaido, the president of the National Assembly, declared himself interim president of Venezuela. And this was a step that has been in the works and has been in play for the past 10 days. And he finally took this step. And immediately afterwards, the United States, Canada, Colombia, and a number of other countries in the region recognized him as president. And so now it's a very unclear situation because Venezuela basically has two presidents. Maduro held a press conference earlier today and it has a very defiant attitude. And, you know, is basically all of his speeches about United States imperialism. And I think U.S. actions have facilitated that being his focus. But it's very unclear. What is notable right now is that Maduro is giving a speech and the Minister of Defense is not there by his side like the other ministers are. And the suggestions that he is currently talking with the military high command, and it's not clear exactly what's going to come of that.
But that's all Maduro does, though, isn't it? Blame the U.S., gives these ideological speeches, while the country goes to hell in a handbasket.
Well, he frequently, that's one of his top themes, but sometimes he actually does have to deal with issues like the economy and inflation and food scarcities and migration. And in all those issues, it's much more difficult. He also has to deal with the opposition and deal with protests and the fact that there's this movement that's very gaining momentum. And so, you know, whatever he can do, he's always going to his basic move is to try and make this problem a problem of Venezuela versus the United States instead of the Maduro government versus the Venezuelan people. And so sometimes that's more plausible and sometimes it's less plausible. And so moments like this, it becomes more plausible. But, you know, in the end, he has a really big problem and he's a very unpopular president and he is not seen as legitimate by most Venezuelans nor most of the neighboring countries around him. And so it's a difficult situation.
Well, back in August of 2017, after the U.S. had slapped economic sanctions on Maduro, President Trump said that the United States was considering a military option in Venezuela, and that just clearly played right into Maduro's hands. Now, we're also learning, I think it was just back in September, that a group of military officers met with Trump administration officials. They were plotting a coup against Maduro, but apparently the Trump administration declined to support their plans. What do you know about that secret meeting between, and who were these military officials from Venezuela? And did we know who they met with in the Trump administration?
I think we do know who they met with, and or we do know who the people were that were arrested later for being part of this, and we assume that these were the same people that met with administration officials. The you know, that was a military conspiracy that was cooking for about 6 months. That was pretty much disbanded last May. I think, you know, the larger point here is that the administration and in general Hawks and the U.S. government think that threatening military action or saying there's a military option is a good pressure technique. You know, they think that that's going to make a government cede or change behavior or do something different. And actually, it's not an effective pressure technique. What's happened since, in the year and a half since Trump first said that, is, of course, it reinforces Maduro's message, but it also, probably more importantly, is it undermines the opposition, because the opposition, it drives a wedge through the opposition between those who want to act politically and mobilize politically and those who think, well, we should just abstain, stay home, and let a foreign intervention happen because that's going to be more effective. And so a lot of the deterioration of the opposition over the past year and a half, I think, can be attributed to that military option. Now, the United States the National Security Council had a phone call with journalists today in which they emphasized time and again that, you know, if anything happens to Guaido and the other leaders in the National Assembly, Maduro would be held responsible, and that all options are on the table. So they said that time and again. It's very clear that they want people to know that they have a military option because they think that's going to be an effective threat. And I don't think that's an effective threat. I think it's actually counterproductive. I mean, the real problem here is that, you know, you can certainly understand the United States and other countries have not recognized Maduro's election last May, and I think it was clearly a deficient election, did not meet standards, and I don't think it should have should be recognized. And, you know, so what happens when Maduro, you know, is sworn in? Well, they're not going to recognize him, and now they're in a position they're going to recognize Juan Guaido as the interim president. What this is going to lead to is not clear. And the United States, this doesn't actually open up new ground or open up any new interesting strategies for the United States. It still has the same sort of suite of unattractive options. Basically, there's the military option and there's further sanctions. No, the thing is, any broader economic sanctions are going to end up hurting the people and just exacerbating the migration crisis that's already affecting the region. And the military option, of course, is as undesirable as we know from past U.S. interventions in recent decades. And so the problem is that there are no really good options at this point with reference to Venezuela.
And again, I'm speaking with David Smalley, who's a senior fellow at the Washington Office of Latin America, specializing in Venezuela, and a professor of sociology at Tulane University. Professor Smalley has researched Venezuela for the past 25 years and lived there for a total of 15 years, during which time he taught at the Universidad Central de Venezuela and the Universidad Católica Andrés Bello. He moderates the blog Venezuelan Politics and Human Rights, and he has an article at The Conversation, Venezuelans Reject Maduro Presidency, but Most Would Oppose Foreign Military Operation to Oust Him. So there hasn't been a free election in Venezuela since December 2015, when the opposition overwhelmingly in a landslide secured a supermajority. But then since then, Maduro's ruling United Socialist Party have come up with all kinds of tricks to essentially strip the assembly of any powers, and Maduro controls the courts. The one area that seems to be a little shaky, and which is what we're sort of focusing on here today, David, I guess is the military, because Maduro and apparently my understanding is that the Cubans have basically been in there kind of running the show behind the scenes, particularly in terms of the military and the intelligence services. But there are obviously cracks. The fact that the Minister of Defense wasn't there today in Maduro's press conference, how much can you make of that?
Well, I think, yeah, this is the real issue. I mean, I think for there to be any kind of transition, the military is going to end up deciding it. No, and so far, you know, they've been quite loyal to Nicolas Maduro, and it's not hard to understand why. Basically, since he became president in 2013, he's given them control over all kinds of economic assets, television stations. They have a bank. They control imports and exports of food. They now control the oil company, mining. No, they have all kinds of economic interests. And so, you know, a lot of them, of course, don't want to lose that. But, you know, at this point, you know, these military officials can be quite pragmatic. If they sort of think that the game is up, I have no doubt at a certain point they're going to end up turning on Maduro. I don't think that they're heavily ideological in the way that Maduro and the people in his inner circle are. And so, you know, that's what it would take. It would take the military to say, you know, we're not going to go along with this anymore. We have to go to elections, we'll see. We should know in the coming day or two what the military stance is.
But surely the military, particularly the rank and file, have got relatives and families in the neighborhood. They're suffering the same problems, aren't they, as every citizen is? You can't get food, you can't get medicine, you got to line up for hours and hours on end. Inflation, you have hyperinflation, where your savings every day disappear. I mean, it's unbelievable. So surely there must be some level of kind of patriotic rejection of this wrecking crew.
Well, I think there is. No, I think there is, especially the lower down you get. No, and if you think of the different military rebellions that have occurred over the past couple of years, they've basically been at the lower levels, no, of sergeants and lower level soldiers that do an uprising. The uprising on Monday was basically lower level soldiers. And of course, they have very little chance of succeeding in doing anything. But these are the people that themselves, you know, suffer and their families suffer. I think when you get up to the higher level, some of the officers, I mean, I think for some of these people, these are the best of times, no? And they're making huge incomes and are doing really well and can probably support their extended family. And so, you know, it's not uncommon to go into restaurants in Caracas and see a big long table, you know, with three or four military officers and all kinds of family there, and they're wining and dining. And so, you know, I think clearly, as we saw, there was a conspiracy last year among some military officials, and I do think there's some discontent. And I think more than anything else, there's a lot of sort of speculation and people wondering if this is sustainable, if Maduro is not going to drive this right off the cliff. And so, you know, I'm sure that there's some discontent and, you know, Maduro support, even though he has given over the military many goodies. You know, Maduro support is not a slam dunk in the military. I think there's very much of a question there.
Well, just in closing, the intelligence service, SEBIN, arrested Juan Guaido recently, and then they let him go. And it seems like he talked his way out of it. He's very young, but he's apparently quite charismatic and very popular. What's your sense of whether, I know Maduro's painting him as a child, but do you think he's a real threat to Maduro?
Absolutely. I mean, I think actually having someone his age and of a different generation is long overdue in the opposition. I think if they had done this a couple of years ago and had somebody as president of the National Assembly who was from this more recent generation of politicians, things would have gone better for them. No, but the thing is, they have these older faces that have old ways of doing things, and that's what, you know, made them much less effective than they could have been. And so, yeah, I mean, I think he's not a seasoned politician, but he brings something new. He certainly captured the attention of people. He has some rhetorical abilities. And so I absolutely think that he is a real threat to the Maduro government. I think, you know, there's that. I also think that within the Maduro government, there's some real issues. And I think you mentioned the arrest of Guaido, the sort of short one-hour arrest. I think that was a clear indication that there are divisions within the Maduro government. No, the more hardliners wanted to arrest Guaido 10 days ago. And I think that started to roll, and some of the more moderate people on the inside said, wait a minute, no, we can't do this. Let's, you know, let this movement go and burn out. And so they released him. No, I think it's a clear indication of divisions within the Maduro government. And I think even today, you know, you look at their speeches and their rhetoric, and they're not quite sure what to do. They're not announcing clearly what they're going to do. And And I think they're not sure how to approach this sort of the situation that they've never confronted before.
Well, Davis Maldi, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Okay. Thank you, Ian.
And again, I've been speaking with David Smildy, who's a senior fellow at the Washington Office of Latin America, specializing in Venezuela, and a professor of sociology at Tulane University. Professor Smildy has researched Venezuela for the past 25 years and lived there for a total of 15 years, during which time he taught at the Universidad Central de Venezuela and the Universidad Católica Andrés Bello. He moderates the blog Venezuelan Politics and Human Rights and has an article at The Conversation, Venezuelans Reject Maduro Presidency, but Most Would Oppose Foreign Military Operation to Oust Him. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back looking into the tit-for-tat between Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump over where he'll deliver his State of the Union now that it appears Trump is looking for alternative venues.